this evening, you know, I was with Brother Chris on Monday. It was Monday night, wasn't it? I think so many days flow through. And we were talking, we said we should talk and see, you know, what are we going to speak about? We should, so that things would intermingle. Well, I have to be honest, I didn't know what I was going to talk about on Monday night, and I didn't know on Tuesday. And I've been praying about it and thinking about it, and today I get this message from God that I believe is what needs to be said this evening. And I was reading it, and I'm thinking, is that, it's a missions conference. Is that the message that I'm supposed to give this evening? So we come together just before church started, and I said, so what are you preaching about? He says, I'm preaching about this, and I said, I'm preaching about that. And so, well, those two things don't have much in common, you know. And then he mentioned something about the judgment seat of Christ. And that kind of linked things together. And then while I'm sitting there in the pew, he's preaching, and I'm going, he's just laid the foundation for what I want to say. Amen. And that means that's good. As what I love to see God, how he works in those ways when it's not planned by man. We were thinking about planning it, but we couldn't. He made it so we couldn't plan it, and then he put it all together. And I think, you know, when God wants to speak, we need to listen. And so I want you to be attentive to what is to be said, because it could be the answer to your question that you have on your heart. And I can't promise you I'm going to be short, and I can't promise you I'm going to be long, but I want God to be able to speak through his word, and that we would be blessed by his word. And we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 10 to the end of the chapter. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 to 21. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, but not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, and whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you orchestrate things. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to be in Christ, and we are able to be used by you in your work. And so we ask, Father, this evening that you would teach us, and that you would make your presence known in our lives, and Lord, that you would use us to your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we spoke about the judgment seat of Christ. We spoke about being in Christ and all the blessings that come with that. And something that Chris said was very important there at the end. He said, you know, the things which I feel like I've done, things which are just hay and stubble, and I fear, he said, that that's where it will be when I get to stand before Christ. That's what I fear. And it says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, if we have the fear of the Lord, that we, when we accept, that we, when we know that our works will be judged, then we should be thinking about every day what we need to do so that when we stand before Him, we'll be able to stand and everything that is passed through the fire will remain. Amen? That fear is not a fear like, oh, I'm scared on things, but just knowing that we have to give an account to God should be enough to make us want to be right with God at that time and to have all of our things remain. Amen? That should be what compels us to serve Him, wanting to be able to please God in the end, so that we would hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he says here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We try to convince men. We try to tell men that they need to repent, that they need to be saved. And he continues and he says, not that we are trying to glorify ourselves or glorify you or glorify anything else, but we want to be able to have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in the heart. And a big part of serving the Lord is not doing things. I mean, we can build buildings and we can cut wood and we can help people and we can do all those things. Those are things that God uses for us to open the door into someone's life so that we can then do His work, which is a spiritual work, an inward work of preaching the gospel and trying to get that person to come from death to life, from being in the world to being in Christ, from being transformed in the renewing of his mind. There's something that has to... The spiritual work is what happens after we labor. It opens a door so that we can do God's work. We can get the gospel into that person's life. You know, our good works open the door. And that's why we should be ready to serve. Because people think, why are you doing this for me? Why are you doing this for me? And we say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, He's my God, and He told me that I should help you. And you can know Him as well. Amen? Amen? And He says, not looking at... There are people who will look upon the outward appearance and not upon the heart. And I don't know if you've noticed, but in the Old Testament, when God speaks to His prophets, Jeremiah, Amos, different and others, He gives them an eyesight test. Even Moses, he did the same thing. And he says, what do you see? What do you see, Amos? And Amos says, I saw a basket of summer fruit. So what he saw, he said, this is what I see. I see a basket of summer fruit. And then God said, good, now that I know that you can see properly, I'm going to reveal to you the message. What does it mean? And he does the same thing to us. What is your eyesight like? Are you looking upon the outward appearance of man or the inward appearance of man? Do you look upon the body or do you look upon the soul? And if you look at in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ, He saw people as sheep without a shepherd. He saw them, He had compassion upon them because they saw they were lost. His disciples were like, oh, can you get rid of these people? There's so many people around here. You can't walk through here. We can't go here. We can't do this. You know, send them home. You know, and Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. They're the whole point of us being here. You know, And he looked upon the hearts of men, while we look upon the outward appearance, upon the body. And sometimes the outward appearance can shock us. And we can say, ooh, I'm not going to talk to that guy. Right? And we forget that inside that body, that may be full of tattoos or, you know, with things coming out of their noses and their ears and looks mean and looks like he's going to, you know, beat the next person that comes his way. Inside that body, there's a soul. And that soul it's crying out for something. It has a question. It has something it wants to be answered. And I've noticed in my experience that the guys that look really tough, they're really soft on the inside. When you finally get to know them, they're like a little cuddly teddy bear or a little child, a little boy. And the reason they put on that outward appearance is because they want to protect themselves. You see? The ones that scare me are the women. Have you noticed that? You talk to a lady on the street and she's like, can rip you to bits. You know? That's what I found in my experiences. And so, you know, we look upon the soul of man, not upon the outward appearance. And so he's saying here, we persuade men so that we might have somewhat to answer them, the glory in the appearance and not in the flesh. And that could be someone in the church. He says, oh, you're not dressed properly, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. And they can look upon the outward appearance, and you have to say, well, you know, look at this guy here that just got saved. He was an alcoholic, or he was a bikie, or he was a drug dealer, or something like that, and now he's repented and his life's changed. And they go, ooh, he doesn't look too great. You know, he doesn't look like a Christian. They say, what's a Christian look like? What's a Christian look like? Because people get saved from all sorts of backgrounds. I was with Pastor Robert Cotton down in Mount Gambier, and he was able to lead a man who was a drug dealer to Christ. You know, and now that man's running around to all the people he used to sell to, preaching the gospel. Amen? And some of them get saved. Right? And he said he was in a prayer meeting, like on a Wednesday night prayer meeting, there were three of them. The pastor, the drug dealer, and the guy he used to sell to. And he's thinking to himself, Lord, how is this possible? Who would have ever thought that I would be here in this situation praying with these two men as brothers in Christ? Amen? You know, so we can't look upon the outward appearance. We've got to look upon the souls of men. And when we look upon the souls of men, then we begin to see things the way that they ought to be seen. And it gives us compels us to want to be able to share the gospel with those people. So what's your eyesight like? Are you looking upon things the way that you should? Are you looking at things spiritually, or are you looking at things in the physical sense or in the fleshly sense? And then he continues, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died, in that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. You know, our life is not ours. When we come to Christ, we're supposed to live for him, not for ourselves. We're supposed to do what he wants, not what we want. You know, and he's saying, look, remember the judgment seat of Christ. What is your labor in vain? Who are you serving? Are you serving in the Lord, or are you doing what you want? He continues, he says, wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. In other words, we know no man like, as in the worldly sense. We don't look upon the outward appearance anymore. We don't look upon the things which are seen. We look upon the inward man. We henceforth know no man after the flesh. And then it says, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's no longer what he was. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now he's talking about us and looking upon each other as Christians. And we're supposed to, maybe we knew someone in the past and they were you know, a rotten, dirty scoundrel, and they've gotten saved. Well, he's no longer that anymore. Amen? And you're supposed to look upon him as a new creature, someone new. Not the same old guy he was in the past. Now he's fresh, born baby in Christ, and he wants to live a new life. And the way he can do that is if you forget what he was like. Amen? You have to forget what he was like. Because if you keep reminding him of what he was like, he's never going to grow as a Christian. So we have to be careful. We have to look at each other as Christ looks upon each other. And we have to look at each other as people in Christ. In Christ. And I alluded to that fact on Sunday night. You know, if you can't get along with your brother in Christ, there's something wrong with you. And here we see, after this, he says that all things are of God. He reconciled them unto himself in Jesus Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The Christian's life should be one of reconciliation, always reconciling, either with the people in the world, either with the people in his family, either with the people in the church. His life should be marked by this sign. I reconcile with people. I try to get things right with people. I try to fix the problems I have with people, because if we've been forgiven, we should also forgive. Amen? If we've been forgiven, we should be forgiven. Now, there's a parable about that. You know the parable. There was a guy who owed a lot of money to the king, and he said, please, please, don't send me to jail. Don't sell my family. Don't do these things. And he said, I'll forgive you. And then he went down the street and found a mate that owed him $100, and he said, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to throw you in jail. And he does. And then the word gets to the king, and the king says, well, if that's the way you're going to be about it. And he takes the other guy out of prison and puts him in, and he pays for the other guy's time. Didn't you realize that? He didn't pay for his own debt. He paid for the debt that he was trying to extract from the other person. You know, if you had to pay for your own debt again, then you could possibly say you could lose salvation, right? But you can't. You can't pay for your debt. That's been forgiven, okay? But you can pay for the other person's debt. And usually what happens when a person won't forgive someone else is they become bitter. And you pay, if you don't forgive someone, you pay for their debt. You're the one suffering. He's probably not even thinking about it. And you're every day going, that guy still owes me something. That guy offended me. And you're worried about it, and you're complaining about it. But this guy over here is like, probably doesn't even know that you're upset. And you're getting more and more bitter, and more and more bitter, and more and more bitter. And you're paying someone else's debt to you. So we're supposed to be people who reconcile. Reconciling men to God. And reconciling ourselves to other men. And he says here, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. So when we go to share the gospel and we tell people that God wants to reconcile and have a relationship with them, we are speaking on God's behalf for that person. We're saying, listen, God wants to make peace with you. Will you make peace with God? He's waiting for you to come and make peace. Do you want to come? You know, and we're acting upon God's behalf to try and make peace between that person and God. And he says, this is the message that we have. Okay? We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's the gospel. In one sentence. We have it said in 1 Corinthians 15, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But in essence, what is God trying to do through the gospel? He's trying to reconcile people to himself. And you're saying, please, for Christ's sake, reconcile yourself with God. That's the message we're supposed to give to people. And so, I suppose that's missions. Amen? That's missions. So it begins with the Christian understanding that he will stand before God, and what his labor, what the labor he does for God, will either remain or be burned. And we can't, and we've been told we're in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have reconciliation. We have redemption. We have inheritance. We have the glory of God. We have the power of God. We have all these things at our disposal. But there's a problem. We don't look upon things in the way that we should. We don't see things the way that we should. And I don't think the disciples began to see things the way they should until they saw the risen Christ. And they realized that this life is not the only life. There's another life that comes after. And when they saw the risen Christ and they begin to see things spiritually, and they begin to see, well, this physical life, this one we're living now, is temporary, and even my own life is temporary, and this body is temporary, and everything that I have is temporary. So why am I trusting in these things? I have to trust in the spiritual things, and I have to look at the spiritual things, and I need to look at people as eternal beings, because we are. There's no end to the human existence. The soul has no age. Have you thought of that? That's why when you're 75, you still feel 18. Amen? In your mind, he's going, I can do that. And then he goes to do it, and his body goes, no, you can't. But his soul says, I can do that. The soul says, I can fly. I can do great things. The body says, no, you're firmly stuck on the ground. You can't do what you want. Right? So when we look at the soul of man is eternal. It continues. And it will continue forever in the lake of fire. Or it will continue forever in heaven. But it will continue forever. Okay, the soul of man. Don't look upon the body, that's temporary. Don't look upon the things, that's temporary. Look upon the soul of man. And when you look upon the souls of man and you see people as lost souls that need a Savior, as people who have separated from God that need to be reconciled with Him, that's when you begin to really serve the Lord. Because you begin to actually act upon the area where God is trying to work. And you can say, well, I'll help you with this and I'll help you with that and I'll help you with that. But the reason I'm doing that, the good works that I'm doing here is that God might open a door in your mind to listen to what I have to say. I'm going to help you because I want you to hear a message. And we say to them, please, for Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And God will do a work through us. So we need to remember that our works will be tried. But we have to remember that we are in Christ and we have all spiritual blessings. We have everything. He is all in all. There's nothing lacking in Him. We just have to see things the way we should. When we see things the way that we should, then we will act the way that we should. Amen? And if we can act upon what we see, then we will serve in the Lord. Amen? We will do what God wants us to do. If we look at people as just bodies, then we'll serve maybe just for ourselves. But if we look upon them as souls that need saving, then we begin to serve in the Lord. Amen? And we begin to see that there's something more important than just helping mow their grass or helping them cut their wood or helping them with some money or things like this. And we need to look upon the soul of man and begin to do the work of God. And maybe we would see more souls saved if we would look more closely at and more correctly about the people that are around us. Amen. Yeah.